Acts chapter 9, verse 32. And we'll read to the end of the chapter. Now, as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed." And immediately he rose. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that all things are possible with you. We thank you most of all that through Jesus Christ, all who trust in him have eternal life. Their sins are forgiven. Their home is heaven. Thank you for all the blessings that we have in this life, but most of all, what awaits us in the next life. Father, we look forward to that day that you call us home. May we continue to be faithful in what you've called us to do. May we seek out opportunities to minister to people. Father, I pray if there's anyone here that has not trusted in Christ, that today would be their day of salvation. I pray for the Holy Spirit just to be ministering in our lives today, that he would take the word of God, that it would transform our hearts and our minds, that we would become more like Christ today. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So no matter how busy Peter was in speaking to the masses, Peter made it a priority to also minister to individuals. And he's simply following the example of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Several times, on many accounts, we find in Scripture, Christ teaching, preaching the Word of God to the masses. We find Christ ministering, feeding over 5,000 people at one time. But we also find Christ in the scriptures, like Peter, like Paul, and like so many other, like Moses, ministering to individuals. And we find in this passage two specific people that Peter ministered to. Two people that God used Peter to minister to. The first is Aeneas. The second is Dorcas. Two individuals, two different miracles that God performed. But both instances, we see many people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. The primary purpose of Peter and the apostles, the disciples, and should be the primary purpose for the church today is to see people come to Christ. The gospel going out. Again, the book of Acts is a transitional time period for the church. It's a very exciting time, starting in Acts 2, the birth of the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit. They were baptized into one body, the indwelling ministry, the permanent indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers. It's an exciting time for the church. Many things are happening. They started to receive persecution, and they started to spread, and more people got saved. And Peter is now being used. In verse 32, "Now as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda." Notice how Peter was busy serving the Lord. He went here and there among them all. Have you ever had one of those weeks, it's like you can't, it just went so fast because you were so busy. Maybe you were so busy that you didn't have, you kind of missed a couple meals. And for many of us, that's not always a bad thing for that to happen. But we're just so busy and so much is going on that time kind of goes even faster. Ever notice that when you're busy? It can also be very taxing. Now, busyness, sometimes we use it as an excuse not to do what we are called to do for the Lord. I know I've said this before, but we make time for what we want to make time for, and we're too busy for what we want to be too busy for. And that's usually true in most instances. Now, there are sometimes things just unexpectedly happen, whether it's a tragedy or something else. But many times when we say we're too busy and we don't really get done what we want to do is because we're not prioritizing our time and we're spending more time doing things we shouldn't be doing. We're all guilty of that to some degree. Well, Peter was busy serving God. And it's interesting. I think it rings true that those actively involved in serving, they are being busy for the Lord. God grants them the most ministry opportunities. Not always true, but usually when someone is already busy actively serving God, God will use that individual in a greater capacity because they are being a steward over their time, and God can now entrust them to do more for the kingdom of God because that's their priority. We see that in the life of Peter. He was all about serving God, spreading the gospel, helping people. Peter was involved. That's the first point. He was involved. He was involved in people's lives. He was available to serve. There's a lot to be said of just simply being available to serve God. God, here's my life. Here's my calendar. Here's my abilities. Here's my resources. God, it's all yours. My life is in your hands. I am available, God, to do whatever you've called me to do. It needs to start there. Because our lives, they're not our own. If you're in Christ, it's been bought. Christ owns you. You are His child. You are His servant. That should be our response. God, I'm available. Use me. Mold me. Whatever you call me to do. That was the mindset. The Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, so many in Scripture that God used tremendously. God, here's my life. Use it. So he went here and there among them all, and he came down also to the saint who lived at Lydda. And there he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And immediately he rose. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now some have noted that as far as Aeneas is concerned, it doesn't say he is a disciple. It just says a man named Aeneas, where Dorcas or Tabitha is specifically called a disciple. So some have pointed out that potentially Aeneas wasn't a believer, whereas Tabitha or Dorcas was a believer. We don't know that for sure. But the point of the matter is that Jesus Christ healed him. Notice, not only was Peter involved, but he was Christ exalting. He gave Christ the credit. It wasn't Peter that healed him. It was Jesus Christ who healed him. I'm so thankful that one day, all of us in Christ will stand before God in all His splendor and glory, in ourselves, in our glorified body, and we will be completely healed of every disease, of every calamity, everything that we are suffering today, whether it's cancer or a common cold, we will not experience that in glory. So one day, every believer in Christ will be completely healed. Now, if you're in Christ, spiritually, you have been healed. You've been taken from death to life. We don't know what caused Aeneas to be bedridden, to be paralyzed for 8 years. It's not important. But obviously, everyone knew that this guy was paralyzed. It wasn't some fake healing. It was everyone knew the situation. Because when they saw him healed, they saw what God had did for them. They realized, okay, Peter must be an apostle sent by God. And obviously they responded to the gospel message. And it's interesting, it says all the residents of verse 35. It says all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. So just a huge amount of people coming to Christ through this miracle. Peter, he was involved. He was Christ exalting. He was available. Look at verse 36. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. all the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. So Peter, would you agree that Peter was pretty busy at Lydda? I mean, all these people are coming to Christ, and he's just having this wonderful opportunity to see people turn to the Lord to get they were being saved. But notice, Peter was available to do whatever God had called him to do. Have you ever been going throughout your day and maybe even have a written list? You have an agenda and you're checking things off as you complete those things on your list. But then something unexpected happens. Now, as believers in Christ, we know that nothing is by accident. There's no such thing as luck or accident. It's all God's providence. We understand that as believers. So when things happen that don't usually fit our normal schedule, that should be a clue that maybe God wants us to do something else. Or maybe he has something in store for us that day that wasn't on that list. And for the type A personality, that can be very difficult to deter from that list. I know, I got these things to do. God says, well, I want you to do it. Well, after I do my list, God. I'm thankful that wasn't Peter's mindset. He's in Joppa, in Lydda, and people are getting saved. It's a vibrant ministry. I'm sure he's very busy. But then he's contacted. It's a very beloved saint, a disciple, Tabitha. She was loved, appreciated. I mean, Dorcas was full of good works and acts of charity. She lived for other people. She had that Philippians 2 mindset, putting other people's interests before her own. And because of her service, so many, and the way she helped the widows, oh, she was greatly missed. She was greatly loved. And she knew. The disciples knew, those who loved her knew that Peter was nearby. So they contact Peter, and he was available. He was available. I can't emphasize that enough. For the child of God, we need to be available to do what God wants us to do. There's a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. So you got Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to do, and everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was sure somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody would do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody and when nobody did what anybody could have done. And we laugh at that, but it rings true many times if we think about it. All of us are called to ministry. And the more of us that realize that and are actively involved in people's lives, like Peter was willing to be. You know, we're not apostles today. None of us have seen the risen Lord. But we are all disciples of Jesus Christ. And if we're a disciple, that means we are a follower. And we need to say, God, I want to follow you. You lead me into what you would have me to do. You changed my to-do list. I just simply want to be used. That was Peter's mindset. He was available. So Tabitha Dorcas, she was greatly loved. She was a New Testament example of a Proverbs 31 woman. Proverbs 31:20 says, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She lived for God and other people. So verse 40, Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. I can't imagine those who loved her so, the inexpressible joy they must have experienced when their dearly beloved sister God brought back to life. We understand that death is a reality. The Lord tarries, everyone in this building will eventually die. But we also understand that for the believer in Christ, death has no victory. Because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead and is living and seated at the right hand of the Father, all who trust in Him will also rise again to a glorified body. Because He lives, we live. And we can trust in the fact that all our loved ones that have gone before us, if they've trusted in Christ, we will see them again. Not just for a moment, but we'll see them forever through eternity. Death has no victory. Here's an illustration that death has no power over God. So He raises Tabitha from the dead. Now notice that Peter first, he put them all outside. He would not be put on a display before the crowd. He didn't want to draw attention to himself, but he also wanted time to pray. Peter understood the power in prayer. So he puts them out, and he prayed. He knelt down and prayed. He understood it was going to be the power of God that would raise Tabitha back to life. Understood. That's where the power is. It's in prayer. How many here this morning wish they prayed more? We get too busy to pray. It's an embarrassing truth. We have an opportunity to commune with God, to talk with the Creator of this universe whenever we like to come boldly before the throne of grace and pray. There's five young college students years ago. They made their way to London. They wanted to hear Charles Haddon Spurgeon preach. I don't blame them for wanting to hear him preach. So they arrived early at his church. They found the doors were still locked. So they were just sitting outside on the steps waiting to be let in. And a man comes out, sees him sitting down. And he says, would you like to see the heating apparatus of this church? And they thought to themselves, well, that's not really why we came. But sure, you can show us the heating apparatus of this church. So the man took him into the building, down some stairs, down a hallway, to a room, opened the door, and 700 people were on their knees praying. And he says, here is our heating apparatus of our church. That man who led them was Spurgeon himself. There's power in prayer. Peter understood that. So he prayed, asked God to raise her from the dead. And turning to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And became known throughout all Joppa that many believed in the Lord. See, both times, many came to Christ. God used miracles like this as confirming signs that the gospel message is true. So the message is true, and the apostles, God's messengers, had the truth of the gospel. The miracles and signs of the apostles. Now, God is still in the miracle business today. And I believe the greatest miracle that is performed today is the saving of a soul. When someone trusts in Christ and they are transferred from darkness to light, they are gloriously saved. Oh, a miracle takes place instantaneously. So after she rose from the dead, she was presented alive, became known, many believed in the Lord. Then he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. Now it's interesting that it specifically says Simon was a tanner. So that means he dealt with the skins of dead animals. Well, that would be considered unclean. And many Israelites would not associate with tanners because of their occupation. It was considered an unclean occupation. So he would have been shunned, unfortunately, by many and by the local synagogues. So it's interesting that Peter decides to say with Simon the tanner, especially what happens in chapter 10. Now, there's no place in an effective personal ministry for prejudice. And I'm not just speaking to color of skin. I'm speaking to social status of whatever it is that prevents people from associating with other people. One thing I love about this church is that we're so welcoming. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what your job is or how much money you make or don't make. We don't care here. Because if you're in Christ, you are our brother and our sister in Christ. Paul understood that. I want to close with 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 to 23. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. I'm so thankful, as we'll see in Acts 10, verse 34, that God shows no partiality, that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And we, as children of God, if you've trusted in Christ, we have been given the great responsibility to be all things to all people for the gospel's sake. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. If you're here this morning, you've not trusted in Christ, today can be your day of salvation. God shows no partiality. He died for the world. He took upon human flesh, Bethlehem. Then he went to a cross, Calvary. He laid down his life. He who knew no sin became sin for you. He took your place. The substitutionary atonement. Christ died for you. God demonstrated his love toward us. And while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the price. And he freely offers eternal life to anyone who trusts in him for forgiveness of sin. If you've never asked Christ to forgive you of your sin, you've never trusted in him, today can be your day of salvation. If you're here this morning, you've trusted in Christ. Maybe there's someone that you want to share Christ with this week. Maybe you just want to come before God and ask him to expand your influence to others for the gospel's sake. That he would give you the boldness, that you would make the most of every opportunity, that you would live for him and not for yourself. That you'd be open and willing if he decides to change your calendar that day to follow his lead. Or maybe you're here this morning, you're going through a difficult time, and you just want to come forward, give it over to God. Whatever the need is, just come. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gospel, for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for all the promises we have in Christ. We pray that we would be like Peter and Paul and Moses and so many others. We would be available, willing to do you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Verse of invitation. Whatever the need is, just come. Amen. You may be seated.
Pastor John. Thank you.